Amen. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the Gospel according to Luke, the 16th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. And we're going to begin in the 19th verse there. Gospel according to Luke, chapter 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at the gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torment in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus. And then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who would pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. And Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they hear, be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, we would that you would take your word, that you would touch our hearts, Father, that you would make changes in our lives in this very hour. And we thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever been amazed by how durable we are? I know you think you're fragile, but in reality, we are very durable. How many times have you had bumps and bruises and maybe even breaks, and yet here you are? How many times have you had a close miss? You know, the close miss, that time when you put on the brakes just in the nick of time, that time when you barely missed falling off a cliff or off a roof or off a ladder. You barely missed being hit by that truck. You almost drowned, but somehow you got across and out of the water. The plane bounced you all across the sky and yet landed safely. You know those kind of times. Have you ever wondered why you're still here when there are others that went through circumstances just like you did, and in their circumstances they passed from the scene and passed from earth, but you survived? You gotta agree with me. The only reason we are still here and breathing is the grace of God. It is the only possible explanation. Most of us get to thinking that we're invincible. After all, we've lived so far. We've made it through this far. We got to make it through the rest of the way. Certainly, we've gotten through tough things. There is absolutely nothing can penetrate our lives at this point. Well, not so much. Certainly, we have been blessed to come through what we've come through. But we also understand that we will one day die. We don't like the thought. We don't think about it a lot. We like to push that thought way away. But the reality is, one day we too will die. You may have had close family members die. In fact, in this room, we have lost loved ones in this past year. A firm, factual reality of life is one day you will join them. This is the unchangeable truth that Jesus is teaching in this particular passage of Scripture. Here Jesus gives us a story of two men. They are very, very different in almost every way. One is very rich, one is very poor. One has absolutely everything, one has absolutely nothing. One is seemingly healthy, one has open sores and is very feeble. Now, these two men, though different, have one thing in common. They both died. One seemed capable of handling anything, but we find out that's only how it seemed. In this passage of Scripture, you're going to find the waste. In verse 19, there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. It appeared he had it all. It appeared that he was on top. He had the best of clothes. If you were going to dress the best that day, you would dress in linen. It was very expensive. In fact, it was the most expensive garment that you could wear. There was only one thing that could make it more expensive: have it dyed purple. The Bible tells us of a wealthy woman that was led to Jesus by the Apostle Paul. Her name was Lydia, and if you remember that story, she was a seller of purple. A person could actually make a very, very good living if they could corner the purple dye market. Now, the dye was very hard to get. They would take a fish. They would take out of that particular fish the throat, and they would take the throat out, and from the throat of a fish, they would get one drop of purple dye. And so here was this man that had an entire garment of linen that was dyed purple, and you know what? He had to have a whole lot in order to get that garment. He had to be kind of on top of the world, and a lot of money and expenditure went into him being dressed, and a lot of fish sacrificed themselves for that. He not only dressed in the finest clothes, he ate the finest food. The Bible says he fared very well. It actually is meaning that he had a feast at every meal. And so he had the best of the best in all areas of life. And that's quite a contrast between this rich man and the beggar. There was a beggar named Lazarus. Now, when you hear Lazarus, you may think of Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus. That's not the same Lazarus. Lazarus was a very common name. This is a different Lazarus. This man was a beggar. The rich man would have known him because Lazarus kept getting in his way. And Lazarus kept trying to beg from the rich man. Lazarus was at the rich man's gate. So the rich man would have stumbled across him often. The rich man would have his sumptuous meals, and Lazarus only desired just a few crumbs from the table. It wouldn't take much to satisfy him. The rich man seemingly was strong, but Lazarus was not. In fact, the Bible says Lazarus was covered in sores, and he didn't even have the strength to stop dogs from licking the sores. I think that's classified as ew. Nothing wrong with the rich man having great wealth. There's nothing wrong with anybody having great wealth. The Bible talks about many people that have great wealth. Father Abraham had many sons, but Abraham had a lot of money too. Abraham, according to the Bible, was a very wealthy man. Joseph, you know Joseph, who had the coat of many colors? Well, Joseph was actually born into a wealthy family. His brothers sold him off. He rose through the ranks and became the prime minister of Egypt and one of the wealthiest men in the land. We know even in Jesus' case, he was touched by Joseph of Arimathea, who was a very wealthy man, so wealthy indeed that he had a tomb just waiting that he could loan to Jesus. No, there's not anything wrong with having wealth. King David died, and the Bible says that he was full of days, full of riches, and full of honor. The Bible is clear. It really is not wrong to have money. It is wrong for money to have you. It is not having money. It is the love of money that is the root of all evil. And if you follow this text, you'll find that this wealthy man had fallen to love for his money. Money, a good tool, but a very poor master. Lazarus was poor. Now, there's nothing wrong with being poor. A lot of people have tried that. There were differences in the lives of these men. You might think it's kind of unfair. Why in the world should one of them have so much and the other one have absolutely nothing? Why were there inequities? I want to share with you a very important principle you need to file away because you will need it. It is something that politicians certainly do not understand and something that most of the people who vote do not understand. Life is not fair. Nowhere is it written that life should be fair. In our minds, we think that it might be good if life was fair, but it just is not. In life, there are differences. It is very likely that this wealthy man had been born into a wealthy household. It is likely that this poor man had been born into poverty. Have you who were born in the United States ever wondered why in the world you had the good fortune of being born in one of the most wealthiest places of the world? Have you ever wondered why you got to be born here instead of possibly being born in Syria or Haiti? Oh, how your life would be different. Even the poor in the United States are born with far more opportunity than most people in third world countries. There are inequities in the world. No matter where or how you were born, rich or poor, God can use your life and God can bless your life and God can fill your life with joy and God can give you purpose and God can give you meaning. Now, by a casual view, it seems that the rich person must have had a very meaningful life. I mean, he had it all. And it seems that the poor man must have had a kind of sorry life. However, Jesus unfolds the story, and we see that the reality is actually the opposite. Matthew 16:26 says, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Now, some people have said that this is just a made-up story. It is a parable, but it's not a parable like other parables. I do not believe this is a fictitious story. I don't believe that this is just something that Jesus made up out of the air. I think the fact that Jesus calls one man by name is indication that this was indeed a real person that really lived at a real time. I think the fact that the name of the rich man is not given is evidence that his life was wasted. God only gives us one life on this earth. Rich or poor, this is it. Now you, like me, might realize that you've already messed up some of it. We've already sinned and fallen away from God and already done some things we shouldn't have done. And in that process, we've messed up part of this life and we don't get to start over. This is it. The only thing we can do is go from where we are. The only thing we can do is seek to live for the Lord from where we are. Seek to follow what God desires from where we are. The rich man had one life. The poor man had one life. The rich man wasted his opportunities. He wasted it and he sealed his eternal destiny. Now, the fact that you are still living still means that you still have a purpose. Don't waste the rest of your life. Don't waste the time that you have. Here is waste. And then we see the woes in verse 22 and following. It says, "And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he might dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." It is true that there are inequities on the earth, and may I tell you, there are inequities after death. Not everybody has the same eternal destiny. Lazarus dies, and we are told a band of angels come, and they take him to Abraham's bosom. Now, Abraham's bosom sounds like a strange phrase, but before the resurrection, Abraham's bosom was where saved people, where those people that died in faith, it's where they would go. It would be like a believer today saying that someone they loved died and went to heaven. And so he went to the place where believing people go when they die. When the rich man died, the scripture simply says he was buried. Now, that means he had a funeral. The poor man probably did not have a funeral. People would come, they would be paid to mourn, they would pull their hair, tear their clothes, they would scream out. It would make quite a show of it. And they would take the man to a special place of burial. People came probably from all over the area when the rich man died. And people would say what people say when rich people died. How much did they leave and who did they leave it to? Well, how much did he leave? Every bit of it. Lazarus probably did not get to be buried. Probably didn't have a funeral. The indigent were often taken and thrown on the fires at the city dump. And that's likely what would have happened to Lazarus. The people on this side might have thought that Lazarus was totally forgotten by man and by God. Oh, but that's not how it was on the other side. God didn't forget Lazarus. Lazarus died in faith, and God cared for him because he died in faith. Anyone that dies in faith, whether they have a lot or have nothing at all, anybody that dies with faith, oh, they have an eternal destiny with Jesus. What a blessing that is. Listen, I would rather have a host of angels come to carry me home than to have the finest funeral with the best mourners. And then a bunch of vultures waiting to tear apart whatever might be left. Lazarus died as a believer, trusting in the word of the Lord, expecting the Messiah to come, expecting his sins to be covered by the sacrifice that God would offer. He didn't go to heaven because he was good enough. He was not. Nobody goes to heaven because they're good enough. He went to heaven because he had faith that God would save him. He had faith that God would forgive him. He lived in faith. He died in faith. Now, the rich man did not live in faith. He lived in what he could buy. He lived in his sin, and he died in his sin. And because he died in his sin, it changed everything in his destiny. Don't die in your sin. Don't do it. You see, he had a fine burial. That was great. He didn't get to enjoy it. You know, people put on a lot of airs about how they're going to have great funeral, what's going to happen at their funeral. Would it surprise you to know that you don't get to go? The rich man died in his sins, had a fine funeral, a fine burial. He woke up, the Bible says, in Hades. Now, just Abraham's bosom is that place where saved people would go before the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hades is where lost people would go. It is that abode for the wicked dead that would await the fire of hell. People often joke about hell today. They try to make it a place of partying, a place where people just have a good time. But nothing that's ever been told about hell says that that's the way it'll be. No one would know more about hell than the Lord Jesus. He spoke more about hell than he did heaven. He made it very clear that hell is not a fun place. Even look in this passage, you find in verse 24, I am tormented in this flame. Verse 25, you are tormented. Verse 28, lest they come to this place of torment. Torment is not a party place. If you die without Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you die in your sin. And if you die in your sin, you bear the punishment of that sin. And that is indeed a place of torment according to Jesus. Now, if you don't like that, take it up with him. Jesus is revealing there is a reality to death. Rich or poor, you're going to die. And he's revealing there is a reality to where you will spend eternity because of your faith or lack thereof. Jesus says heaven is a place of eternal comfort. Hell is a place of eternal torment. Hey, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out where you should be, where you would like to be. Without Jesus, there are horrors ahead. Now listen, I believe that is true. I am thankful that I came to Jesus in faith. I am not a perfect person by any means, but I am a forgiven person. I am thankful that he has saved my soul, forgiven my sins, and because of my belief in Jesus, and only because of that, when I die, I'm going to heaven. I don't want anyone to go to that other place. Now, I heard people get very angry, and they will tell people that they want them to go there. But you know what? I don't want anybody to go there. In fact, I want to do what I can to stop people from going there. That's why we're making such a big deal about inviting people to Easter Sunday service, because we know people are more likely to come on that day, and we want to get as many people in God's house as possible on that day to hear God's word so that they might not go to that place called hell. And it's what we do now that will have a lot to do with who shows up on that day. And certainly we need to be telling people personally about how they can know Jesus and about how they can have salvation. Here we have this horrible thing going on in this man's life. He made the wrong choices. He died in his sin and he woke up in torment. You don't have to do that. And so we come to the witness. Verse 31, and he said to him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. This rich man is still trying to take care of himself. That's the way he lived, trying to take care of himself. He's trying to take care of himself. Hey, Abraham, get Lazarus. He's just a servant. Get him to put his hand in water and come down and put it on my tongue and cool me off. Still trying to get somebody to serve him. When he finds out that's not possible, he finds out there's no way. And by the way, people from heaven do not transverse to hell. People from hell never transverse to heaven. It's not a place that you can go to and work your way out of. Once you're there, you're there. That's what this scripture says. And so once he realizes he's there, then he begins to think, well, I got brothers that may come here. I need to stop them. Send Lazarus to them. And Abraham tells him this. Abraham says, they've got Moses and they've got the prophets. What he's basically saying is, they have the word of God. If they will not listen to the word of God, they will not listen to one that rises from the dead. That's what he says. Now, that means at least two things. One, it means if you're a believer and you have the word of God, you have all you need not only to get through this life, but to challenge someone else that they might go to heaven. Now, it also means this. Some people think, well, why doesn't God send somebody back from the dead? Wouldn't that just do it? I mean, the guy you buried last week, he shows up at your front door, knocking on your door, telling you you need to get saved. Wouldn't that do it for you? It actually would not. If you won't believe what God has already written down, but hey, did you know people have already come back from the dead? Lazarus, not this Lazarus, Lazarus, Mary Martha's brother, died, was brought back 4 days later. Don't you think they should have listened to him? Jesus was in the tomb 3 days, rose again. Don't you think they should listen to him? You see, there have been people that have died and come back. If they're not believing now, what makes you think they'd believe if somebody else died and came back? We've got God's word, not man's word. We've got God's word. This is the tool that God has given us to use. This is the word that can change lives eternally. This is the word that can comfort you in the dark days. This is the word that can strengthen you and allow you to stand and give you hope and give you help and give you victory. It's all in God's word. And so the witness is God's word. The witness is here and the witness is real. And in the gospel message, you can share it with people and their lives can melt and they can receive Jesus and they can be saved forever and forever and forever. There is a difference in this life. Yes, there is, in how you live and who you live for. There is a difference when you die of where you'll go. Yes, there is. You'll either go to heaven or you'll go to hell. There is no in-between place. There is no working yourself out of the place you go to start with. The decision has to be made now. And so, my friend, if you are here today and you have never made the decision, you've never invited Jesus to come into your heart, don't you understand that's why God's got you in this room? That's why God has shared this information with you? And if you want to go to heaven, if you want to know Jesus as your Savior, you can do that, and it's very simple. In a moment, we'll have a hymn of invitation, and that's when we just ask people to come forward. And if you would be willing to walk forward from where you are and just say, I want Jesus, because it's not how good you are or how bad you are. It's whether or not you will accept Jesus as your Savior and Lord. If you would come and say, I want Jesus, we will pray together. He'll come into your heart. Today, you will be eternally saved. When you die, you will end up in heaven. But you've got the choice. The choice is based on God's word. Heaven or hell. Receive Jesus or don't. That's your decision. I hope you'll make the right one. You see, the rich man in this story did not make the right decision. And today, he's still in torment. And in eternity, he will still be in torment. Don't go that way. Listen, if you're a believer, you can get in the way of people going to hell. You can get in the way and tell them the right way. Tell them how they can know Jesus. Tell them that there is a word in God's in what God has given us that shares how we can be forgiven and how we can be saved eternally. Share that good news. Share the witness. And lives can be transformed for a day, for an eternity. It's all up to you. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, would you come to know him? Just, I want to know Jesus. Walk down and say that word. I want to know Jesus. Very simple. We will pray together. He will come into your heart today. Your eternity will be sealed today. Maybe you're a believer and you just need to follow him more closely. You need to witness for him more aggressively. Maybe you just need to come to the altar and recommit yourself to him. God calls you to a decision. I hope you'll make it. Let's stand for prayer. Father, we thank you for your challenge of your word. Father, we thank you that there is a place, Father, for believers, a place that we don't deserve, a place that is eternal, bright, and fair. And Father, all we have to get there is Jesus. And without him, there is no going. Father, I pray that you would move in our hearts. In this room are some that need Jesus. Father, they've never made the decision. They've never accepted him, and today is the day they need to do that. Father, I pray for believers that we would know the reality of heaven and hell, and Father, that we would want to do whatever we can to stop people from going to the wrong place. Father, make us witnesses for you, carrying your word that can change lives for all eternity. Lead us to decisions now, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You come as we sing.
If you are tired of the load of your sin,